Now, please follow that. You eat it in this manner. With your loins girded. That is, what that meant is that, you know, they used to wear flowing robes. Some said that there are two ways you can get your loins. Anyway, the point is that get ready for action. That's the meaning of get your loins. There are two ways. No, you know, to get your loins means to take a belt and hold your cloth together. But I read somewhere that the traditional way by which they did it was that they pulled the end of the robes up and tied it on the waist. So not only did it tie the clothes together around them, it freed the legs for movement. The summary of it is get ready. Tell your neighbor, get ready. All right. So that's how they are supposed to eat it. Let's continue reading. It said, your sandals on your feet and your staff in your hand, part of get ready, and you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will go through the land of Egypt on that night, and will strike down all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, not the Egyptians, but in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And against all the gods of Egypt, I will execute judgments. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you live. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And no plague will befall you to destroy you when I strike that land of Egypt. Now let me just stop there to highlight some issues. One, after the lamb has been slain, which is where we're picking it up from, one, they were supposed to apply the blood on the doorposts and on the lintel. And then they were supposed to eat the flesh of the lamb and eat the whole of it. The whole of it. You have to emphasize the heads and the legs. You roast every part, the entrails, everything. And then you eat it with unleavened bread and with bitter herbs, and you eat in a hurry. Now, I can't even imagine that I know half of what this implies. But I'm going to pick a few of them and try and explain it to encourage the people of God. You understand what I'm saying? I'm sure there is much more to it than what I'm going to talk about. Some people have more insight, but at least what is relevant for us for now, as the Holy Spirit reveals that, I'll just share that one with us. We already established the fact that, number one, the blood is to be applied to the doorposts. And we said that talks about your heart. You understand my point? That the blood is not for your enemies. It is applied on you. You are God's building. The doorpost refers to your heart. Especially as you interact with the things that you see outside. How do you interpret things? That's number one. You must interpret life with the knowledge, you understand, of the fact that you have been redeemed. Very important. When you are thinking, you must bear it in mind that you have been redeemed. Let me say something I heard many years ago. Man of God said that, listen, how many people were in jail? Was it only Joseph? That prison that Joseph was in. How many prisoners did they have? Who can give me an idea? Okay, let's put it like this. Was he one? So it was not Joseph alone. Another idea, another question. Was it only Joseph that was there wrongly accused? At least there should have been at least one other fellow. And we can also prove that there was the cupbearer and the baker butler here. And one of them was guilty, the other was innocent. So at least we know that for sure. Now, my pastor said those days that what is common to man, that is happening to everybody. Everybody got fired in your office for doing nothing. Everybody is finding it hard to get the job because they are in Nigeria or in America or in London and there's economic downturn. You understand what I'm saying? It's common to everybody. But for Joseph, it was his own stepping stone to the palace. Do you get the point? It's happening to everybody does not mean it has the same meaning or the same effect in your life. Are you getting what I'm saying? Tell your neighbor, that's blood thinking. And that is bloody thinking. Yeah, that's a good way to put it. So, boy, this is bloody thinking. That is, I understand, listen, it can be common to everybody. I mean, give an example. Me, my tire does not go down recklessly. It goes down only on instruction. The Lord has to instruct, especially when I'm traveling, for my tire to go down, it's always a commandment of God. So everybody can have flat tire. It's their problem. When I have flat tire, I bow my head.
I worship.
Because that flat tire must have a message. Your own tire can burst because you don't buy a new one. Even if my own is old and I never buy a new one, the busting is arranged. It's blood thinking. Nothing happens to me by accident. My life is arranged. Why? Because I'm blood bought. Are you getting my point? I'm a precious possession. God knows me by name and he counts the hair on my head. That is my attitude towards life. It is what I understand because I'm a believer. My life is not just average. That's called applying the blood to your doorposts. It has been shed. We've established that. God does not need you now to do any sacrifice. Listen, let me tell you something. Christians don't do sacrifices. Listen, we don't. The sacrifice is one, shed. The blood has been shed once and for all. Our own sacrifices are now praise, thanksgiving. You understand my point? Giving, that's part of it. These are the, but this kind of serious sacrifice, there's some Christians do a lot. They said they redeemed the firstborn. I don't believe in it. I don't know where it came from. Please, I hope you have followed my point. In case you want to know, that firstborn is Christ Jesus. That here, amen. You must understand some things. When I talk about blood thinking. Blood what? Thinking. That is, it's important because, let me say this again. God can do something for you that he has already done it. You are supposed to be blessed by it. But you don't experience it because the earthly part that's supposed to download the effect from heaven, you don't do it. That's what I'm trying to explain. And my mind is just so strong on it. The main one where people goof it all the time, where they blow it all the time, is in this thinking matter. They don't think with an understanding of blood that has been applied. I was reading somewhere that the Bible says something like this. That if you have something, maybe you're a big man, you are well educated, you're a professor, you are something, you're a big guy, you know, amongst man, you know, amongst human beings. The Bible says, you should understand, this is blood thinking, that doesn't make you better than the guy who's next door. Maybe he's your carpenter. Do you follow my point? That it's just that you have received something that he did not receive. That's all. One of the problems I've seen around these days is pride in man. People are very proud. Even preachers are proud. They are proud of their title. They are proud of their offices. That is against blood thinking. One of the things the Lord has taught me, and I preached here some time ago, is that listen, in life, you respect, there are a number of ways you respect people. Reasons. One, primary one is age. You respect your seniors. That is when you get to work. If the man that's inferior to you, like you're a bank manager, the man who opens the gate in the morning is your father's age, you are not permitted to ever shout on him. It doesn't mean you can't give him a query. You can give him a query. You don't call him names. You don't talk recklessly to him. It is forbidden. Because he's much older than you. In God, age counts more than earthly achievements. There are things in Christianity. That is, you achieve something outwardly in life as a believer, God says you must never ever think of it as something that you got by yourself. You know, I quote this man all the time, Ben Carson. I've read a number of his books. I read The Big Picture again recently, one of the books, I don't know which one. Okay, no, I think A Big Picture and Take That Risk. He's a celebrated man. But, you know, this is not, I'm not taking anything away from his glories and all of that. But having read it carefully again, I realized that a man can receive nothing except it is given to him from above. He was just a man that God took to show his glory in. That's all. I read it again. For him to begin to do well in school, God had to speak to his mother. They were having problems. The mother said, okay, you boys go and sleep. Let me pray. Let me hear what God will say is the solution to your problem. He said he couldn't sleep. He couldn't sleep. His brother slept, but he couldn't sleep because he was afraid that his mother will actually hear from God. And in the morning, mother called them and said, God has spoken. What did God say? God said, no more television. You can only watch this number of programs in a week. And they were like, wow, how could God say such a thing? I said, fine, the Holy Spirit told me that one. All right, let's try and manage. Hey, before you go, come. God also said something else. What else did God say? He said, each one of you, two boys, will read and summarize for your mother two books a week. They said, this is even a worse judgment from God than the television one. That there's no way on earth we can do that. They did not even know their mother couldn't read the summaries. She was hardly educated. They did it. And that was a place that his life began to turn around. He got to school. When he got into med school or pre-med, there was a day the Holy Spirit, an angel, actually showed up physically and solved questions for him on the board. He was in a trance. When he was about to get himself kicked out of school. Do you get the point I'm making? Everything he became, read it. You know me, I have my way of interpreting things. By the time I finished reading his story, I said, remember I said to you, Solomon was the wisdom of David manifested. Yes, you read the story. Solomon himself was not much of a man, really. Please, get what I'm saying. It was the extension of the life of David that's called Solomon. When I read the story of this woman also, Ben Carson, I said, no. It was the faith of the mother that brought this boy into existence and gave him glory as a young man. He was in his 30s when he became world famous. This is how we think as Christians. A man can receive nothing except it is given to him from above. In the same manner, you don't think of yourself as higher than other people. This is another side of it which you have to balance well. You also don't think of other people really higher than you. That's why I keep on saying, no competition. What did I say? What did I say? What did I say? No competition. So somebody has done something. What do you concern me? What I always say, has he done the one I am doing? I don't care how glorious his own is. But has he done the one that I am doing? Many of the world celebrated musicians, they're not supposed to sing much. Yes, I'm not going to do that. The race is not to the swift. Are you getting what I'm saying? So the fact that a man sang one song and they paid him 40 million naira, what do you concern me? He can't buy the influence I have had in the lives of people, not personally now, but with the word of God. In the influence, the amount of change I have caused in the lives of people by preaching his word, we can't call it 40 million. That would be an insult. I said, but he didn't give you 40 million. Has he reduced my handsomeness? Are you getting my point? I have everything that I'm supposed to have to do the will of God for the moment. Anything I don't have is not because of God's inability. It's because I've just refused to stretch my faith. I've not exercised myself in that direction. So it's a spiritual problem. It is not that somebody has something I don't have. No. Now, I'm giving examples of how Christians apply the blood on their hearts. You understand that you've been blood bought. Listen, you are not inferior to anybody. I mean that literally. Your friend gets a visa, wins visa lottery, is going to America. He's lucky. You know, there are things I hear, but I wonder what is wrong with you. What is the luck in it? If you dashed me, I wouldn't take it. Not because it is bad, but because how does it improve my efficiency? That is why I don't play visa lottery. Once in my life, as a young boy, the one of my friends pressured me into he's playing for me. And I told him, what a man is not planning to eat. He said, you should stop sniffing it. I know they like cake, but let me see this is your cake. It's a little very nice. If I know that, you don't begin work. And look, I have friends, family, people, you know, abroad. Nothing. There's nothing about it. It's not good. It's not bad. It's just like you live in Port Harcourt. I live in Enugu. So you live in Atlanta, Georgia. One guy lives in Johannesburg. That's it. We just live in different places. From here, I preach the word of God that blesses people all over Africa. What am I saying? I am not inferior to anybody. It's a blood thinking. What did I call it? Blood thinking. Let me say this again. The Jews are not superior to me. When you watch too much American TV, the impression you have is God has expression people that accept things are okay with them. The whole world will go to hell. The world will go to hell faster if they maltreat me. Why? Because I currently have faith in Jesus. I am the apple of his eyes. And go and read the scriptures. Jesus said there are some who said they are Jews, but they are not. That's what he said. I added the laughter to it, but I could imagine him laughing. He said, don't mind them. They said they are Jews, but they are not. Paul said, we are what? The true circumcision. We worship God in spirit and do not have confidence in the flesh. I am not inferior to anybody. Blood thinking. I take the scriptures. They say, rejoice, O Israel. I say, wait. The word of God went to his own. His own did not receive him. As many as received him, to them he gave the power to claim those inheritances. Because inheritance is for sons. Therefore, if I say, rejoice, O Israel, I say, rejoice, O Banky. Though you are small now, but your latter end shall greatly increase. It's called blood thinking. Please, I hope you're following what I'm saying. It says you will apply the blood. It has been shed. Nobody is asking you to kill it again. The lamb has been slain. The blood has been shed. It has washed away your past. It has washed away your sins. It has freed you from your sin. It has. And sin is not just sin the way we look at it. Sin is everything that is inferior to what God wants you to be in life. It has freed you from sickness. It has freed you from failure. It has freed you from poverty. It has freed you from short life. Do you get what I'm saying? What is your duty? What is my duty? To take the blood and apply it over our thinking. How do I see myself? How do I relate with things, with life? How do I relate with other people? Let me leave that one there. Next thing he said about the blood, he said about the celebrating the feast. You are supposed to do what? Eat. I'm there again. This is one of my favorites. You are supposed to eat the flesh. you eat every part of it. What does it mean to eat? The Lord is good. We can easily understand that. Jesus said, of course, the Lamb was the type of whom? Jesus Christ. He said, I am the bread that came down from heaven. I thought about it, that was the only interpretation I could find for it. This flesh of Christ that he's talking about here, that he said you must eat it. There is something, God, and let me just quote it. In Revelations, when John was being given his visions, there was a time they gave him what? A book and told him to do what? Eat. And the word became what? You are not hearing what I'm saying. The word became what? Flesh. When he said that, literally he meant flesh. The word became flesh. When he said you should eat the whole of the lamb, what he was saying is that everything that God has spoken is for your consumption. There is no part to be left out. Listen, you are doing yourself a disservice in life if you have a denominational label and you believe it. Because one major thing that denominations have done for us is to shred the body of Christ. We eat a part, we don't eat another part. So, those days, it has changed now in this area. An Anglican was an Anglican. He was not a Pentecostal. Therefore, when the Holy Spirit came, he did not receive him. When the power to be effective in ministry came, he rejected it. I don't know whether you get what I'm saying. Go and read the story of Ken Hagin. He was a Baptist. And according to him, they gave him the left foot of fellowship. Why? Because he joined the Pentecostals and was filled with the Spirit and began to speak in other tongues. And they said, bro, he's backsliding. They cut the body of Christ. They did not eat the whole part. Are you getting what I'm saying? People will come and say, this is our church stand on this matter. What is your church? You don't have one. You're just a Christian. I say something all the time. This is one thing about what they say, movement. I said, they say, the prosperity move. I say movement that we say, they say, this move of the Holy Spirit is now over. It never becomes over. What we call movement is a re-emphasis. When God begins to re-emphasize a truth, and it's new because we did not know it before. Not because he just created it, but because you did not know it before. When many people are beginning to know something, they flock there to go and learn. So people say there is a movement. Then it becomes normal. When it becomes normal, the motion slows down. Not because the movement has stopped, but because the Holy Spirit came to introduce something. What he's saying is that that should become a normal part of your life. You don't still continue to encamp around it. Because there are many parts of God you don't understand. The other one comes. This is a mistake. Christians will now say, now we have left that one. We are now in this one. But the Bible says, take hold of one without letting go of the other. It's called eating every part of it. The head, the entrails, the legs. He had to emphasize, these are the areas that have plenty of bone. You know, go one chop. That is, you eat every part of it. Said the meat here is not much. He said, eat it. Sometimes when I'm watching TV, you know, Christian channel, you flip. A man starts talking slowly. He's not exciting. Abi? I say, oh boy, stay there. This is just, I'm adding new words now. This is just the leg. If it's the leg of a lamb before, not much there. He roast the whole thing and eat it. When you get to some areas that have plenty of juice, plenty of meat, yes, you want to eat. So when you are there, someone like TDJX is exciting, you're making you happy. Yeah, you keep eating. Some people say, I don't like these American preachers. Listen, no, be careful when you don't like some groups of people. Because there are things that they say, only them will say it. I told you this before. Once I bought a book, one famous, well-known preacher. My friend in whose church I was preaching said, "Ah, you like that man?" I said, "Not really." "So why are you buying the book?" I said, "I've never read him. So lest I get to heaven." And the Lord said, "Banke, hey, how come you did not do that part?" I said, "I did not know what was supposed to be done." I said, "But I told this man to teach all of you." He said, "Him, I didn't used to go to his church." But what I say to one, I say to all. I told him to teach you. Don't expect any big revelation from me. You should have just taken his book and read it. So I bought the book. I said, "Let me show to the Lord that my portion in his life, I need to collect." He said, "You will eat the whole thing, not a small part. Everything." I said, "Listen, you can go to a church that has a denominational label. Most churches these days, they have. But please, don't put that label on your doorposts. Don't put it on your lintel." "Which church do you go to?" "I'm an Anglican." "Which church do you go to?" "I'm a Catholic." "Which church do you go to?" "I'm a Baptist." "Which church do you go to?" "I'm a Pentecostal." "I'm a winner." The rest of us are not losers, amen? "Which church do you go to?" "You have a label, amen." Let that label be just, let it be as far as the door of your church is concerned and the door of your activities. The door of your heart, bro, strip that nonsense label away. If as a Pentecostal you hear there is this Anglican minister that has word, he's coming to town, go there. Say, "Good morning, sir. Which church is your own?" "I'm an Anglican for today." "You are the Anglican seat. Don't put me in one corner because you think I'm not with you. I'm with you." When you are leaving, they say, "Which church did you say was your own?" "I was an Anglican for the last 2 hours. Now I've dropped the label. I'm going somewhere else." Yeah, so let nobody fragment the body for you. No, don't let them do it. The Bible says one of the major problems Christians have is that they don't rightfully discern the body. There are a lot of crazy churches these days. Some of our brethren are crazy. Amen? Amen. Okay, I permit you not to say the amen too much. I hear one church, I also know be a church. So if they baptize you somewhere else, when you enter their church, they must do their own baptism. He said, no, I was not baptized as an infant. I was baptized as an adult, and I was immersed in what I said. It does not matter. Was it our God that gave the anointing? No, you have to be rebaptized. That kind of one, in Jesus' name, reject it. You have no, because what are you telling me? I must be baptized into a denomination or into a man. Not the name of Jesus again. Christians, they smoke. Oh. The way we behave, honestly, it's as if we have Indian hemp serving demons that disturb us sometimes. People are not even afraid. They're not even afraid. You're not even afraid. May God not enjoy you. You're not even afraid. A man tells you, "I'm a Christian." "When were you born again?" "And that I was in secondary school. I was 19. "Okay. So which have you been going to?" He mentioned this now. "Were you baptized?" "Yes." "How?" "I mean, that time I was 21, was just 2 days before my 21st birthday, where I was baptized, immersed in water." "I said, okay. All right. Immersion is good. Immersion is good. But if you want to join this church, you have to be baptized." They are bad. We are refusing to discern the body of Christ. I'm telling you, refuse. Just tell the person, "I'm sorry, sir. I don't agree. I don't agree. Your church is not the body of Christ. It's one denomination. It's one denomination. It is one denomination. You may know something my people don't know." Are you getting my point? "And I will come and learn it. There's a particular denomination I'm not a fan of." But I think most Pentecostals need to go there. They're holiness people. They need to go there and go and learn all that. Because I used to attend their fellowship when I was in school. If they said Bible study is, it used to be 7:30. 7:25, everybody is seated. If they say we are closing at 9:30, 9:29, we are all standing and sharing grace. 9:30, we're on the way out. We're not Pentecostals. Holy Spirit. Ooh. Our own Holy Spirit. So praise God. We know we advertise this meeting was supposed to start by 7. But Holy Spirit was moving on. Pastor, he was praying. He couldn't get up. So he was starting at 8:30. And the Holy Spirit will move all of you. 1 a.m., you're not going home. Like one of my brothers used to say those days. He said, this Holy Spirit that only knows how to take extra time. He does not know how to occasionally cut the time short. It's a suspicious Holy Spirit. What am I saying? There's a path that everybody has to learn from everywhere. And the wise Christian is the one that, look, forget what your bishop or archbishop is saying. Yes, you are first of all a child of God, amen? So be wise. Whatever church you are going to, hear the word there. Now, actually, one of the things that make denominations is that they tend to have an emphasis at the time. You understand my point? Some denominations are more into maybe, you know, young people, you know. And then some denominations, only palace, they go there. Now, but you know the truth? Those are the things that make one denomination different from the other. And there's no point in trying to pretend. You can't minister to everybody. That's all. You can't minister to everybody. I went to a church one day to preach, Father in Heaven. The stage now show. When they give my room, light, they flash everywhere. I don't even feel see, and I mean, I quench those flashing lights. When you see the choir director, the guy in a jeans he wear, put one funny bracelet for right hand, and I was worshiping the Lord. I said, now, wow. You know the name of the church? Church Unusual. No, that's the name of the church. Yes, that's all. That's all there is to this denomination thing. We just, sometimes we have an emphasis. We have a group of people we are reaching. There are things we are ministering to. Do you understand my point? That is all. Beyond that, we are all Christians. We don't belong to any denomination, nor do we owe anybody any allegiance. I must die with you. If I'm walking with you, I'm walking with you. That's all. If you are blessing me, you are blessing me. But oh boy, I'm not your property. No, I'm not. I follow you as you follow Christ. Do you understand? Do you know let me just emphasize. Do you know the letters of Paul were circulated to churches that Peter and co. had authority over? Yes. You go and read Peter. He said, as our brother Paul wrote to you in many of his letters, of which many of the things in there are hard to be understood. They read the letters of Peter. They read the letters of Paul. That's just the way it is. I think I have to stop here because of time. What is the point? We eat the whole body. Somebody say the whole body. The whole body. Please, let me just add this one to it. People sometimes say that you don't need that now. There's nothing with the word of God like I don't need it now. So, you know, you are preaching on prosperity. You are preaching on job creation. You are preaching on economic empowerment from the scriptures. I'm still a student. I don't need it now. Tell the person, fa, 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 foul. What did I say? Fa, 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 foul. The time you must imbibe a word is the time you don't need it yet. By the time you need it, it's too late. It's like you are traveling. He said, I don't have a car yet, so no problem. Then I said, okay, there's no driver again. He said, okay, let me quickly go and learn to drive. You don't learn to drive the moment you need to drive. Hopefully, you've learned how to drive before then. So in the time of emergency, you can help out. As an example. That's just an example. And the word of God is like that also. Some people will look and say, should I say yes? It's for those who want to marry. I'm not planning to marry now. All right, if you are entering St. John Bosco's seminary, want to become a reverend father, fine. But if for any time in your life you think some of these things will cross your path, read it now. What did I say? Read it now. If somebody is teaching the word of God, the problem is a lot of times we are not teaching the word of God, we are discussing socials and psychology. Because if you are releasing the word of God concerning raising children, whether I have children now or not, doesn't matter. In fact, many of the things, listen, the first time I wrote on how to find a wife was at least 6 years before I met my wife. And it was interesting. It was our local magazine. Then I think I was just leaving school that time. And I wrote an article. I just wrote how to find a wife. And I remember I started by saying that some people would say, what do you know about it? I said, Paul did not marry you, and he taught us about marriage. So if you can read Paul, better read me too. I said that then. What am I trying to say? I wrote that years before I met my wife. I knew some things about the Word of God about it. We eat the whole Word of God, not the one we need. The truth is that we don't know what we need. I hope you know that. We don't know what we need. If somebody is sick from vitamin deficiency, he does not know which vitamin he's deficient of. A doctor has to tell him. Many of the things you are saying you don't need is because you have not diagnosed your problems. You don't know that? A man may come to the hospital and say, what is the problem? My feet are swollen. I get tired easily. And the doctor decides he has a heart failure from a vitamin B deficiency. He doesn't think so. He thinks, give me something to rub on my leg. So many of the things we need, we actually don't know it. So that's why we must eat the whole Word of God. Most Christians don't. We don't. We can say we do, but we actually don't. Live your life now as if the Lord Jesus is coming back literally soon. Because he said, eat it ready to travel. Eat it like you're in a hurry. Eat it like something is about to happen. Eat it. Be quick about it. So I thought to myself, where are we going? I said, what is he saying in effect? Eat like the Lord is coming shortly. Because no man knows the hour. There are two ways by which the Lord comes. Either he comes to meet you or you come to meet him. One day, one way, 12 now go jam. The Lord is good. That said, the Lord is good. We'll look at the rest later because he talked about eating, we've talked about eating the flesh, the Word of God, eating the whole of it, eating it with unleavened bread. We'll look at that later. He also talked about eating it with bitter herbs. And I already mentioned, you eat it prepared to go. That is, you must be ready at any time to move. What have we talked about today? The fact that the Passover must be kept. We must keep the feast. And I said, the Passover for the Jew may have been a day, but for us, it's what? Every day. For us, it is what? Every day. It's a life. It's in our mind. It's our attitude towards things. That's what we're talking about. All right? The lamb has been slain. The blood has been shed. We must now continually keep the Passover. We take the blood, we apply it on the correct places. We use it to interpret every event in our lives. We eat the lamb, the whole of it. And we said this, the Word became what? The Word became what? The Word became what? Flesh. And Jesus said, except you eat my flesh, you have no part in me. I hope you've gotten my point today. If you are blessed today, shout a loud amen. Yeah.